Hi.
Hello.
What shirt are you wearing? Oh, okay, got you. That's a good one.
A great one.
I
One
should
of
have
my
prepared.
favorites.
Represent.
Okay, I want to show you guys something that I got, and it's kind of funny. It's a tribute to Mary Grace also for the last time that she was on, but I went to Target this week and I got something. I'll probably bring to Relay Iowa with me. It's a snack tackle box.
A snackle box.
One of those.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
see, it actually
I
is
think I've
called
seen
that.
those. I know, a snackle box. Yeah, I've heard of
Okay,
those.
well, this one is got a tic-tac-toe board on it.
Oh, cute.
Hey, and you want to see what's in it?
Of course.
Hope snacks.
Well, wait, Mary Grace, were you the one that was talking about Mott's? How stupid can I be? Like, come on, do I really not know what fruit snacks are?
I mean, they
Probably
also
was
do make
there.
applesauce pouches and
Like,
applesauce, so
here's
it's
what I have
valid.
in it. Like, I share a lot of health and wellness. Here we go. Nerd gummies
Classic.
and the mini packs. Well, these might, I don't, hopefully these will last until Easter or until
Easter.
Iowa, because
They
there's
won't last till Easter.
those these are wild berry gummy bears. M&M's, Cheez-Its. I actually bought this for baseball this weekend because I was like, oh, it'd be nice to have like snacks, you know, because oh, and I've already been eating in here, so never mind that. And these are beef sticks because protein.
Does it keep the
Love it.
flavors from like meshing so like your gummy bears don't taste like Cheez-Its?
I don't know. I just filled it up like right before I got on here because I bought it
Okay.
yesterday. I haven't even like, I mean, I rinsed it out.
That
Now
would be
you
my
know it.
biggest concern. I don't want to open it 12 hours into a shift and eat gummy bears and they taste like Cheez-Its.
You know what? Your Cheez-Its might taste like gummy bears with the potency of this. Because these are strong. They
I
smell.
also wouldn't want the Cheez-Its to be stale.
That too,
Oh.
or like chewy.
Not stale.
Well, you
Oh.
continue to report back.
Okay. Oh my gosh. I'm gonna have to do like a 30-day review on the Snackle box. Mott's, you guys. I feel like this is the best, this is the best carb loading box you could ever have. I mean, with exception to these little beef sticks. But I also got little cheese
Yeah.
cubes too, so anyway.
Very fun.
This is how exciting we are around these parts. Jennifer, what are you doing? I'm so very busy. What are you doing? I'm busy filling my Snackle box. We can play tic-tac-toe though. Lots of it.
Can't wait.
Okay.
I know, I'm so excited.
What's up, you guys? What is up? I got it at Target in case anyone at Target, I need to plug Target, send them my way. Ambassador, I can be an ambassador for Target.
Are
Doug
you? says it's three of his
No,
favorite
I wish I
movies.
was. Wouldn't that be so awesome?
Outside
Outside
of Stacy.
to play
Love it.
tic-tac-toe with the Cheez-Its or gummy bears. We will, you
Oh,
can do
that's a good idea.
It's really smart.
that. So, what's up, guys?
Hi, Mac.
Lots of running, lots of good stuff, lots to look forward to. So, all's great on my end.
My legs are sore.
Same.
Mine too.
Yeah, I have a race this weekend.
How's
I'm
the
just looking
forecast?
forward to that. Not good.
No, just hoping it'll change.
No, now it's light. They're calling for like a quarter inch of rain, I think. But I don't really care so much about the weather, truly. I just want my race to be altered or canceled. I'm about sick of that.
Yeah.
And I got an email this morning from the race director that was pretty reassuring that like he was like, just be prepared for heat or blizzard, rain or snow, where it's, we're gonna do this. So that made me feel a lot better. I don't care what the weather is. I can run in whatever. I'm just about sick and tired of my races being altered.
How far is it? Like what race is it?
It's a 50K. It's out at Pine Mountain, which is where when like Doug and Dan and Andre and all of them came out and ran Pine Mountain Trail with me. It's that same trail. It's just a little bit, there's a little variation to it and it's reversed. But it's the same place.
Cool. I love that.
Oh,
So, like kind of the
yeah.
same path or
Very similar. A lot of the same course. That one that we did had 12 miles of road on it. This one has no road. So there's a lot more trail to it.
Lindsay, you're getting roasted in the chat.
I
Just
can't.
a 50K.
Once upon a time, once upon a time, I would say that it was, you know, just a 5K. You know, it's.
I'm running just a 10K this weekend. No big deal. My first ever.
I don't ever mean it to come across like diminishing it. It's, yes, it's a 50K. But when you just ran, you know, a 100 mile attempt, then in my brain, like it's a 50K.
No, we all do it. It's not, you know, all joking aside, we all do this thing where we say it's just 9 miles, it's just 5 miles.
Yeah.
And you look back and you're like, what the did I just say? Because that's actually really crazy that I said.
Right. I don't ever like think about it when I'm saying it. It's just, you know.
Oh, but then people look at you and they're like, you're weird. I
I
can.
know my coworkers are like, "What big races do you have coming up?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm doing a 50K this weekend." A 50K? How many miles is that? And I'm like, "Oh, it's like 31. 31 miles." Yeah.
I love that they ask you because I always talk
Yeah.
about it and then I feel so weird and I'm like, I know it's dorky. Like I
Yeah.
feel that I'm like, oh, okay.
No, my coworkers are really great. They some of them run. It's actually been really cool. A couple of them have gotten like into running recently. None of them really do trails yet, but I'm working on it. But they've gotten into running, and so like when I go to work and they haven't seen me in a couple weeks, they love to get all excited. I just ran a 10K without stopping. I want you to know. And that makes me feel really good that they really want to like share that,
Yeah,
and
that's
that you're
awesome.
there for them. That is nice.
Yeah, it's fun. And they ask about my race. So I was off for 2 weeks for the 100 miler. And when I came back to work, I was still kind of in my feels about it. And it was nice to go to work and actually have people that I hadn't spoken to in 2 weeks, but they knew that I was off for this race to be like, so how was your race? How did it go? You know, and even though they don't really run like at all, or even half the time it's a joke about how much I run. It was sweet of them to be like, you know, offer words of encouragement and cheers and stuff. They, you know, they sent videos and things while I was running. It's really nice.
It is nice. There's some good conversation happening in the chat.
I
So,
see that.
is suggesting that 10Ks are more difficult than 50Ks. And Jen, you're running a 10K this weekend, and Lindsay, you're running a 50K. So, I would love to
We'll
hear your
report back and
thoughts.
tell you which one was harder. It will
Oh,
probably
I would heap rather run a 50K than race a 10K. Heap
Well,
rather.
let's be clear. There's really no racing here. I'm only racing myself, always. There's never, ever like.
I know, but don't you still feel compelled when it's like a 10K? Even if you're racing yourself, I always feel when I run a 5K or a 10K, I have this mindset of no matter how long it's been, I'm like, I gotta beat my best time. I gotta beat my best time. And I really
So,
like push myself way too hard.
I do have some goals. Like, and this was the first time I've ever done that. You know, like, I've never set myself a pace goal. I've never set, but you both know I've been improving at my pace and I've
Yeah,
been
you really have.
really like kind of getting excited about that and being surprised about the fact that like I'm like slowly inching into some single digit miles, which has been really fun because that's,
Yeah.
you know, like it's
Feels
cool.
good.
I think that's why I just keep wanting to go more and like I'm still sometimes stuck in that 342 pound body, you know, like where I sit and think that in my head that I can't do this and like I've already exhausted myself with the thought of like, okay, I've got to go out and run. You know, I really try hard to change that mentality of like I get to go do this. Like I get to do this and I can do this. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's easier than it ever was before. And I'm shocking myself with what I'm doing because I never thought I'd ever run a 10-minute mile, let alone less than a 10-minute mile, and that's freaking awesome.
I think
And I
this is something where I think this is something where I have kind of found, I don't know how to phrase this, like a common ground with people who were like you and I, who had like tremendous weight loss and then got into running, and then everything is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm doing this. And then people who have been running, like Lauren, have been running forever. Somewhere I have found finally like some like common ground where I know good and well that Lauren has not ever lost tremendous amounts of weight, but Lauren goes out and does things and she has those moments of like, I
Yeah.
can't believe I just did that, you know? And I love that's where they're like, that's where I am in my running, that it's no longer about, and I think you'll get there. It's no longer about like thinking about 300 plus pound Jen and where you are now. Like she's always going to be like a part of you, but at some point,
you guys there? Lauren, are you there?
I'm here.
Hold that thought.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfect. Lindsay, your studio is cutting out. Lindsay? Are you still here? Oh, there. You're slowly coming back to us. She's like frozen in time. There you go.
You see a really good thought too.
You were saying something so meaningful, and I felt like I was getting a lot out of this. We'll wait for you to return.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. Now we can.
I'm here. You can hear me now. Is this
yeah?
Okay. What I was saying is, I have been there where every single accomplishment I did, I circled it back to, you know, 230, 240 pound me, never could have, never would have. And it's really nice to be in this place now where I do appreciate the work that I did to get where I am. And I do think about that. But it's also nice to sometimes just think like, I did that and I never thought that I could do that.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. I need to get, I think I'm like close to that.
I think you will. Like that's, at some point you'll reach a point where it's
like that. It's so
Jen then and Jen now is still Jen.
Yeah. It is. I think once I start, I don't know when it will happen because of the fact that like, you know, and we celebrate, obviously, Lauren has been super, super, super fast lately. And like talking about
that. Oh my God.
And how like crazy that's been. And
I ran like a 6:50 for 1 minute the other day. And then Lauren's like, look at my 6:50 fifth mile with a stroller.
And the coolest thing about it is that we all get to celebrate all of these things. And like, there is no competition with it. And
that's what I love.
Because there's so, and I mean, I don't know if like, I feel like because of the people that I surround myself with don't compete with me, that's where I'm in a good space. Or if it feels like the shift for people running, realizing like, hey, it doesn't matter what you do or what your run looks like. We actually all can really just stay in our own lane and it works.
Right. Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, Lauren pushing the stroller. Any mama pushing a stroller. That's not a lane I want to be in. Kudos to y'all.
So now the question has to be raised is, does Mary Grace's stroller with her weight baby weigh the same as Lauren's stroller with her real baby?
I don't know. My real baby is over, well, she's not a baby. My toddler is over 30 pounds. So
that's a lot.
But again, we don't need to compare. It doesn't matter.
I just did that for fun's sake. Like, we have to name that weight baby still.
I mean, Mary Grace is running in a region with lots of mountains, and I'm running in an area where I run on an old rail trail. So there's a lot of comparison there that just the terrain itself is.
And you guys know I'm only comparing the stroller and the, obviously not the runs and like the situations are so different, but it's just awesome to be able to like sit and say, yeah, Mary Grace. And she does a 6 minute mile with a real kid. I listened to that again. I went back and listened to it. And I'm like, Mary Grace, you're just so dang funny. Oh my gosh. Okay, can we go back though, like not necessarily talk about pace, but like let's talk about previous races that we have, because I mean the last time I ran a race was St. Patrick's Day 5K with Maddox, you know, so my schedule's upcoming, but you guys have been in the thick of it. You both had ultra experiences in the last 2 months. You know, Lindsay, yours was not what you wanted it to be. You know, that part of it truly sucks, but I think every time we do anything, we learn a lesson from it. And I feel like you came out knowing that that didn't defeat you. I mean, you're clearly still pushing forward. And, you know, this is again, Lauren's situation. Like she again blew us all away because she like just shocked everyone, the world, and was like, oh, by the way, last night I just ran.
I was like, wait a minute.
Hey, I shocked
myself.
Did
Lauren just run 50 miles?
I shocked myself too, not gonna lie.
So can we just talk a little bit about that since we're recapping what we've been going through? You know, Lindsay, you start, kind of share a little bit of your experience and, you know, how you're feeling and how you're like, learn what you learned from it. And Lauren, you do the same.
Okay. So technically this was my first 100-mile attempt, even though I am struggling mentally with calling it my second. My first one got canceled before I could even start it, but I keep calling this my second 100-mile attempt. The days leading up to it, the race director let us know that there was 7 inches of rain, generational flooding. The 30-mile trail loop that we were supposed to do 3 times, they at like 9 p.m., 9:30 that night, right before going to bed, we all got a notification that the 30-mile trail loop was now cut down to a 6-mile road loop, and that was it. None of us had road shoes because this was supposed to be a trail run. I had 3 pairs of trail shoes. I went to bed that night, I think we all did, just feeling very deflated. You know, you're already kind of nervous going into something like this anyways. You have butterflies in your stomach and you have, you know, your own like insecurities that you're dealing with anyways. But then when that happened, it was very hard for me to dig deep and pull out of me even wanting to start this. But we did. We got up the next morning. We agreed that we were just gonna see, was it asphalt? Was it pavement? Could we run on the shoulder? Like what we were even, before we made the decision to just not even show up, we were like, let's just go and just see. Thank God for Jess Gatlin. We were all kind of down in the dumps and she's just a fairy of a human being, like just magical. She definitely helped us kind of get our spirits up, and where we were all down, she definitely had the up for us. We did the first 6-mile loop and it wasn't raining. So we were like, okay, we kept trying to find the positivities. Oh, it's not raining. At least there's that. Oh, the sun's coming out. At least there's that, you know, oh, it's asphalt, not concrete. At least there's that. There were places, you can kind of run on the shoulder. It was pretty outside. And the first 6-mile loop came and went, okay, we felt good. We'll go for another one. So we really took it as the mindset of, we're just going to take it one loop at a time. I don't think, well, Andrea might have, but I know I did not think when I put on my shoes that morning that I was going to run 100 miles. Do I think that the mindset defeated me versus, I don't know. I don't know if I'd woken up with a mindset of, I'm going to do this no matter what, would I have finished it? Maybe. But as the day kind of drug on and the hours drug on and my feet really started to hurt, like not just blisters, I didn't get any blisters. Dan and Andrea did, but I didn't get any blisters. The inside of my feet were hurting so bad. I was using trekking poles on asphalt. We kind of had a talk around mile 50, like, hey, this is where we are. This is time-wise. And if we want to finish this realistically, this is what we're going to be grinding out for like the next 15 hours. There's more severe weather and tornado warnings on the horizon in a couple hours. Is that something we really want to keep pushing through? And, you know, I still was in the mindset of, I just want to take it one loop at a time. That's all I can think about right now. I just want to go one loop at a time. So we did 2 more loops, hit the 62-mile mark, and my right foot was just in agony. And I just, it's in the middle of the night. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning, actually. We've been at this for 20 hours. At this point, none of us are really talking. We're just quiet and everybody's kind of thinking their own things. I don't know, I just started having a thought. One of my friends called me, one of my best friends, she called me and I kind of talked to her about like where I was at and what I was thinking. And she also more or less gave me permission to just, you know, do what you need to do. This isn't the race that you thought you were going to run. And I thought with that for a minute, and it's ultimately, that's kind of how I made the decision. Like Dan talked to me for a little while, Andre and I, we had a talk, and then I talked to my best friend, and it really came down to, I want a buckle. I want a 100-mile buckle. I've wanted that for 2 years, but I'm not a road runner. I ran a marathon in January with my husband and I did not love it. At 14 miles, even I was like, I want to walk off this course. I don't love this. And to have done already 2.5 marathons in that day on road after I swore, I don't think I'm ever doing a road marathon again. I was like, this is not how I want to buckle. I don't want to push myself through this, maybe causing an injury or a stress fracture, and then not be able to do the races I want to do. I want to do Relay Iowa. I want to pace Andrea Moore in July. I want to do H9, and I want to do Yeti, which is a 100-mile like trail race, if I'm able to. I can't do that if I'm injured doing a race that wasn't even really the race that I was supposed to do today. So I caught up to Dan and I told him I'm tapping out. I'm done. And so he tapped out with me. Andrea gutted it out. She went a whole nother loop, like a baddie. And her feet were like water balloons. Dan got to see me, big fat snot bubble. This is what, there's no pictures, there's no videos of this. This is what didn't get on TikTok. Big fat ugly cry for a long time at the aid station. Cry now.
Let it out. Let it out.
See, now I'm not the only one that cries on TikTok.
Oh, I cry on TikTok all the time. It's fine. It was really hard to not feel defeated, even though I felt defeated before I even went to bed that night. And so it's two races in a row that I've been training for and looking forward to now for over almost 2 years now, 100 miler. And I didn't realize that the hardest part of doing a 100 mile race is like just getting a fair shot at trying a 100 mile race. But okay, you asked, what have I learned? And
well, can
since
I
that race,
pause 1 second? Because what you just said was like, it should be on quotes and t-shirts. You literally just said, I didn't realize that you just,
the hardest part of getting to a 100 mile race is getting a fair shot.
Yes, literally. I mean, come on. You still like, I know you're going to be hard on yourself about the way that things went, but oh my God. Like, and like somebody had said in the comments, when you get your race, because that was just your, not never, but not right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that was just your, it wasn't, that's not your time. Like,
it's not my race. This was not my race. It took me 62 miles to get there. And mentally, I mean, it really,
and you,
it took me a minute to get there to realize this is not my race.
And you still set a very massive distance PR. I mean, that,
which is also very frustrating because I never thought I'd be like not able to celebrate
fully
62 miles. Prior to this, 56 miles was my PR. Like I'd never, you know, but what I have learned since then from talking to many other ultra runners, people who have DNF'd, and gone on to finish. A lot of ultra runners DNF their first 100 miler, second 100 miler, third 100 miler. Like it's part of the ultra running sport. But it's also, I've learned, and it's taken me a while to get here, that race days, especially when you're running something like 100 miles, that's the gift, actually. Perfect race days are not guaranteed. They're definitely not guaranteed. What you need to realize is when you show up to run a race like that healthy, trained, and ready, is that that's a privilege. You have been able to put in, it takes months, years to train up to be able to do something like even cross the start line of a 100-mile race. And I have been incredibly fortunate that my body has allowed me to do that relatively injury-free. I'm able to bounce back. I mean, I did those 62 miles and I was running 3 days later. And once I shifted my thinking to that, which has been a lot to do with Dan and Andrea Moore and a bunch of other people who have reached out to me, who have been there, who have DNF'd and have a very different mindset of it all now because they've been in it. Whereas this was my first time and it was just such a shock. It's true. Like when you really think about race days as the celebration or as the gift, races are never really guaranteed. I love ultra running because I love training. I love the trail runs. I love going outside and going for an 8-hour run on the trails. I'm doing a 50K this weekend because I love to just be out there and being able to do that. That's the gift. And when I started thinking like that, that's when I was able to start letting it go. I couldn't let it go. So anyways, that's my story.
Well, it's a good one. And I think that this is going to, it probably already has like essentially created a vengeance within you that the next time you start at 100 mile distance, you're going to be more ready than you even realized.
Speaking of vengeance, the Viper 100 opened up for registration today.
Oh,
I'm going back to Memphis.
Yay.
Next year.
I love that. So that's the one, explain to everybody what race you, so is this the one that you, that this just happened with, or this is a different,
yes, right? That's the one that this just happened with. Okay. I had a race in September. That was going to be my first 100-mile attempt. We got all the way there. Yeah, we got all the way there. They deferred the race by a day. But they were still going to host the race, and there was tremendous flooding left over from Hurricane Helene, and so they ultimately canceled that race. So I did not get to even attempt, didn't even get to start that one. So then I found this one in Memphis that was 6 months later, maintained my training throughout the winter, mm-hmm. showed up to this one with generational flooding, tornado warnings, all kinds of stuff. So that's due. So I'm going to do a third attempt this fall, second technically, but third this fall. And then next year I do plan to go back to Memphis and actually run the trail course that was supposed to be run.
Okay. I like it.
I mean, I think we also need to point out, as your friends, you ran 62 miles. And that was ultimately training for this next
event. Yes. So we're just going to roll this in to just, it's all part of the ride. It's just all part of the ride.
Remember when I finished my marathon and I said to you guys, you know, I guess I don't understand how I still got this place out of this many people. And you all said to me, that's how many people didn't show up or didn't finish.
Yeah. 19 people did not start the 100-mile race.
Okay, so right then and there, that is a sign for you to let it go. And I know you already have, you're working through it, but I'm just saying, you know, like.
Yeah. I wasn't really prepared for it to hit me as hard mentally as it did. That's the other thing, too. I made the mistake of not having an A goal, a B goal, and a C goal. I usually always have that going into a race. And this time, I was just 100-mile or bust. I was so eager and so excited. I think that also played a part that, like, I didn't have any other goal but finish. And so when I didn't walk away with that, then I felt like
it was like a bottom drop out. Cause really, yeah. Truly, you only went into it saying, it doesn't matter how long this goes, I'm doing this and I'm finishing it. And then when yes. you did it, it was like, yeah, I get that. I mean, that's like anything in life, you know, like,
yeah. Yeah. So I think it's important to always, like, that's the other thing I learned is when you go into a race, for me, it is important to have a series of goals and, like, set yourself up for, if you don't get that first goal, it's not a failure. Like, there's showing up is really a win. So,
well, you're not giving up. You're going to keep fighting. And
oh yeah, no,
there's no doubt that
yeah, oh yeah, no,
it's for sure happening. It's a matter of when.
No.
Yeah, there will be no giving up.
It's yeah. Just- oh no. No, I love it too much to.
I mean, think about how sweet that moment of, like, you know, because at the end of the day, the more you do this, the more chances you have of having the perfect race. You know what I mean? Right. And obviously, it's never going to be perfect. It's never perfect, you guys. Nothing can ever be perfect. Like, preach on,
Jennifer. Yeah.
It's the idea of, like, that will be the one where you can actually feel like I did everything. I was trained for it. The conditions were as best it could be expected, and I got to do the things that I wanted to do. Yeah. And now I have the proof of that to show for it. And
I was thankful that I had really great friends with me that were also in it with me. And, you know, Andrea this was her second attempt. Dan this was his third attempt. And so, like, they both had a more realistic, like, mindset of it, I guess.
What we signed up for.
Right. And that really helped. I think at mile 50 when Dan really kind of talked to us and was like, guys, I don't think you're Like, if this is what you want to do, that's fine. I'll keep going loop for loop, you know. But it just wasn't, it wasn't the race for us.
Well, and it's funny that you said that. Like, you said, if we would have finished this, like, it would have taken away the, it would have almost taken away a little bit of what it was you were working for, because it's not right. What you expected. I mean, yeah, okay, you could have been like, okay, but still, like, this is something, I got this because of doing something, just because it was for the sake of doing it, not because I actually right. enjoyed it. And at the end of the day, none of us are like breaking tape, you know. I keep saying right. that, because
Dan put it very well the other day in a conversation that I had with him, that 100-mile race shouldn't be a just get it done race. That's not what it should be. It really needs to be more than that. You'll have more success, honestly, if it's not just if you don't look at it as, let me just get this done. That's not how it should be.
Yeah, I think that's a good lesson for anything. Like, it shouldn't just, anything that you're doing. I mean, I always say, like, if you're not having fun, why are you doing this? Like, I say,
right, exactly.
I'm like, if I'm not having fun with this, why am I doing this? And it's like,
exactly.
Sal, why?
What's okay. he saying?
Watch him. Watch him. He said he breaks.
I break my nut tape.
Oh my gosh. Well, Lindy, I'm really glad that you told us that whole story. And I can't wait till we recap when we're on episode like 150 and recapping when you can like actually like put the belt on.
I know. I was like, Relay Iowa is in jeopardy right now. If I keep going, I'm not going to be able to do Relay Iowa. And that's just not something. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up Relay Iowa.
So can I ask one question? With these belts, like, are these buckles that people actually wear after the fact? Like,
I mean, you can. You can. I don't put it past me. I might start wearing jeans and belts again.
Yeah, I'm going to wear every day for the rest of the year.
It's going to sleep right under my pillow every night.
I love it. Okay, well, speaking of buckles or wooden medals, Lauren,
your medal was pretty. I liked it.
I would show you, but it's out in my car. But
in your car?
Would you throw
the back seat with the rest of them?
Yeah.
I was like, where could I leave this that I'm not going to lose it? So it's in the car.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Reminder.
Yeah, so let's set the scene for this one, because it's kind of a funny story too. I mean, not really funny, but
it's very Lauren.
It is very funny. So I signed up for the race on April Fool's Day, which was 11 days before the race itself. And before
what race? Tell us the race.
This was a 50 miler, my first ever attempt at a 50 miler. And I want to make it clear, because I maybe wasn't as transparent about this in all of my videos, that I wasn't training for this race necessarily all year, but I had been training like as if I was training for a marathon and more. And my fitness, the big reason why I pulled the trigger and signed up is because my fitness has gone way up in the past like 3.5 months, more so than it ever had. And I'm pretty sure that once I started supplementing with iron after finding out I was anemic, I just started feeling exponentially better. And so my training, my health stats, everything was reflecting that. So
I think that's something important to say real quick. Like, not that you, because Lauren, at the end of the day, you don't have to justify why you decided to sign up for this 11 days in. You know, you right. are consistently running long distances. This right. is, I mean, your base runs are already at what, a half marathon and more. So that's something also to set the scene with, because at the end of the day, you yeah, are.
I would not recommend that the average runner, especially just starting out, do anything like this. Don't sign up for a marathon 11 days out, that type of thing. I don't want to set that as like a, this is what you should do. But I wanted to explain that I was in a good fitness level, that I knew I truly was in a healthy position to at least try.
You had an idea that you wanted to do something. I mean, you had an idea of that.
Yes. And I'm the type of person that I've had so many experiences with marathons where it has been upwards of 80 degrees and 90% humidity. And I do not train, or I do not perform in that at all. I just mentally shut down. My heart rate's insane. And so I wanted to find a race that I knew had good potential of being cold. That is what I run best in. And so part of the reason why I waited to sign up until the last minute, because it was a race I had been eyeing for some time. I kept checking to make sure it hadn't filled up, or like getting close to being capped, because I would have signed up sooner if it was. because I wanted to do this race, but I waited because I was able to check the forecast. So kind of like as Lindsay has had some bad luck, I was like, I don't want to sign up for this race if it's going to be like 80 degrees or, you know, if it's like flooding in the area kind of thing. So I signed up for this race. I coordinate with my parents that they are going to be my crew. My mom did help a little bit in my first ultra last year, but my dad and my mom really have no experience crewing ultras, like none. But bless their hearts, my parents are the sweetest, and they agreed to drive. It was like 3 hours each way to come crew me at the race that started at midnight. And silly me did not actually realize that the race started at midnight when I signed.
Oh no.
That was a learning for me several days later when I told a handful of people about it ahead of time. And someone messaged me and was like, so are you excited about the midnight start time? And I'm like, ooh. So I like panic read. And I'm like, wow, what did I get myself into? I also knew that the course would be very challenging. Wow. Southern Minnesota is like running in the mountains, apparently. We were in like the area where
people are going to roast you, but tell us about elevation, please, because.
Well, in 50 miles, the course website says it's 6,600 feet. And let's just say I felt every bit of that. So it was about 6,600 feet elevation as well as descent. It was pretty evened out in terms of up and down. So definitely not something that I can train on consistently, but thankfully I had done a lot of incline work on the treadmill. And so I kind of just approached this race with the attitude that I'm going to do this. And so I show up, it's a 5 hour drive for me. I get there and lo and behold, there is zero cell reception anywhere. So thankfully I just talked to my parents and they were about like, they were just maybe 5 miles behind me in arriving. So I park my vehicle and I run over to the entrance because there's no other way I'm going to find them. Because again, there's no cell reception. So I like wait and I'm able to flag them down and I like, okay, we're together. Good. So being totally disconnected from the outside world for that length of time was a little interesting. So that was something I wasn't anticipating, but pro tip, if you run an ultra and want to save your battery life, download your music. If you're listening to music on a playlist, so you have it, put your phone on airplane mode. I think my phone was still at 90% when I finished the race, which is insane because that has been an issue for me in the past, is a phone that dies. So that was a good learning for me. I at least had been prepared in that aspect. But I start out, everybody is so nice. Just the atmosphere is amazing. It was in about the 30s, real feel. It was like low 30s, so it was pretty chilly. In the woods, you were pretty sheltered. And as we start out, you start on a giant incline, like 300-foot hill. And about 6 miles in, I was pretty terrified at this point. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Because every single step was uncharted territory. It was completely dark. And thankfully, after that first lap, during the first lap, I settled in behind a couple guys who were fast. And that was maybe unwise for some reasons, but basically I was just in go mode and I like zoned out of everything. I was just like staying on pace with these guys, just run. And the one guy had a really good chest lamp, and so having good visibility was really helpful. I ended up finishing the first lap. The first aid station wasn't until mile 13 and a half. So I had to fuel with my own nutrition for the first half marathon, basically, which I knew, and that worked out fine. But when you get to the aid stations, it's like finding heaven on earth. It's such a strange feeling of just like joy and relief and seeing other humans who like come up and they are like hugging you and like helping you in, and they're immediately like ripping your water bottles off your vest. And they're like, what do you want in these? What do you want? Like, what can we get you? So I had some chicken noodle soup. They refilled my water. I went to eat a Snickers and it was completely frozen. So
Man. That
was something I wasn't
frozen?
About.
On your run vest, right there where Lindsay puts her chicken biscuits.
I should have done that. But So the first lap, I was feeling a little uneasy. I was having some pretty intense calf cramping, but again, I kept telling myself, just relax, stay in this. But once I finished the first lap, the next two laps, because each lap was 17 miles, I kept telling myself, you've done this once. And I knew the second lap, as I neared the end, I was going to have some daylight. So I kept telling myself, just run this bit in the dark, like it's going to be okay. And I think that that was the main thing, is I just kept telling myself, like, you absolutely are doing this. Like, there's no failure. It's not an option today. And every time, so there's some funny things that happen though. Like when I got to the aid station at the main area, my parents were my crew, and I ended up spending about an hour of the total event stopping. And I was a little frustrated that I spent so much time, but I was really sweaty, probably because I maybe overdressed. So I ended up changing everything after my first lap. And I do think though, starting out in warm, dry, fresh clothes actually helped me run faster at the times that I was running. So just in terms of like the little nuances of these types of races, I learned a lot. I learned areas where I can improve, especially things like being more efficient at the aid stations. And when I started that third lap, or I was nearing the end of the second lap, there was a high area where there was like a rolling hill, like cornfield that doesn't have corn planted, but farming field. And I tried to see if I had cell reception. So I did send out a couple messages at that point to people like, hey, I'm alive. And I had sent one to my husband that was like, I'm doing this. I was like, I'm effing doing this. Like, I am finishing. I know I will. And at that moment,
okay, Lauren, like, really, you know you're
gonna. I really had convinced myself that like these last like 20 some miles, like it's nothing. I'm going to do this. And I think that my parents kind of saw that fight in me after the second lap, because the first lap I was a little bit like terrified still, but it was an incredible experience. I think I liked the aspect that the course was as rugged and even technical at times as it was, just because it was unlike anything I had ever done before. And so I think that these are the types of experiences that teach you and show you, like, why not push harder? Like, why not push farther and see what you're really made of? And you know what? I could have fallen and rolled my ankle pretty bad, like at any point, and been severely injured, but I kept telling myself, just go, like you're not going to fall. And somehow I ended up not falling during the entire race, which is still a miracle to me. And you know, at the end, everybody's so incredible. Even when you're out running, every single runner out there is telling you good job. You're exchanging stories. It's just, it's such a different atmosphere than any other type of race. And yeah, so now I'm pretty much addicted and looking forward to, well, really Iowa next, but so excited for the next one.
H9 in August. H9.
What is the elevation on that one is what?
15,000 feet.
In 50? 50 miles?
56.
Ooh. What's it? So this course had an 18-hour cutoff. And I wanted to say, I had set this arbitrary goal of under 12 hours for myself, which I didn't know if I was capable of, but I hit the 50 mile mark on my watch at just under 11 hours. But then with the technically finishing, because the course itself is actually a 51 mile course. I came in at 11 hours, 15 minutes. And so I was absolutely elated. I finished about 4 minutes ahead of a man who ran last year. And this was his second year. And he said he ran 30 minutes faster than last year. And it was so sweet. He had asked me if this was like how many 50 milers I'd done. And I looked at him and was like, oh, this is my first. And he jaw dropped. And he's like, hey. And so it was the sweetest compliment. I mean, that like was one of the highlights of the day, was getting a genuine compliment from somebody who knew exactly what the course was like. And, you know, and I commend him for being so nice, because, you know, he was in out there doing the same thing. And it's just, I don't know. Again, I'm going to be like,
nine is 20 hours. You get 20 hours.
20. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this course had an 18-hour limit, but I would say if anybody likes running in the cold, and if you wanted to get a really unique nighttime running experience, it is a wonderful. It was the.
I like the night. The cold, frozen Snickers though, Lauren.
Worth it.
I don't know. That's a little extreme.
Is it? See, I feel like it wasn't that big of a deal.
Did you eat it?
I liked running H9 because it was like, I didn't need any layers, nothing.
See, I like being cold and chilled. I feel like I run better in the cold.
Yeah, but you don't wear layers. So, I mean, were we trying to tell people that you wear, because Lauren's outside in like 30 degrees in shorts and like one long,
I know.
Hat, big old hat.
I was wearing layers in the ultra just because there are sections where you're walking a lot and
yeah.
And I really, I figured where I didn't know what I was getting into, I'd rather have an extra layer that I could tie around my
waist yeah.
and be absolutely frigid for 17 miles out in the wilderness without cell reception.
Well, I love that Doug was there at the finish. And that was really sweet.
Yes. So Doug surprised me. Like, we had talked a little bit ahead of time, and I basically was unable to stay in any sort of contact with him once getting there. And he drove couple hours each way to come see me at the finish line and took pictures and the whole
what
thing
a gem.
Was bawling. I was like ready to just, I was already crying as I was finishing and then knowing Doug was there and getting hugs and everything. It's such an emotional experience.
It's awesome. When I got home, Doug said, when I got home, Stacy wished she would have came too. Yeah.
That's
awesome. So that kind of set the bar. No? Yes? Like, now that you've had time to reflect, because I know we've talked, and at first it was kind of like, well, if you can do that, you know, the sky's the limit, because that right. was that was a lot of elevation. It was nighttime. It was, all I can think about is, like, that Blair Witch Project movie.
Like, there's something about running at night, though. I like running at night.
Someone's chasing you in the middle of the night and, like, not knowing, like, are they gonna get me?
There was one point in the second loop, and I had music playing, but it was with Shock, so it wasn't, and I didn't have it super loud, so I could still hear everything. There was this really loud couple cracks in the woods, like a ways off, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what if this is a mountain lion or something? Like, I knew it wasn't a person. I was like, something is over there.
Rob, I'm with you too. Producer Rob just jumped in. I do not enjoy night running at all.
I'll take as many nighttime miles in Relay Iowa as possible. And I truly mean
yeah, that. I like night running. Something about it mentally, you can like really focus and like lock in because there's, you can't really see anything around you. So you really just feel like it's just you and running.
Mm-hmm. Completely zone out.
Well, I mean, obviously I'm getting the opportunity to give this a go. So that's great.
Yeah. You'll get some night miles in Iowa for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could, like, when we say night running, like, I mean, I've been out running at like 4 a.m. So it's still nighttime.
Yeah. It's still not, it's dark.
But it's been on paved trails in town where there's lights, not out on a highway, which that will be fun.
Ooh, beach running. That's, I love beach running too. I do love beach running.
Yeah.
Messes my perception of pace too much. Don't worry about your pace. Just run.
My first night, I was convinced I would be skeleton by a bear. There are no bears here. Hey, actually, Andrea, there are bears there. Have you not been to bear country?
Andrea, remember the bears in Memphis?
And
I was convinced there were bears in Memphis this whole race. I was like, I hope we get to see a bear. I hope we get to see a bear. Dan's like, there's no bears in Memphis. And I was like, there are. This is Tennessee. This is bear country. There's bears out here.
Are there? Did you look it up?
Yeah, I looked it up. There are no bears in Memphis.
Well, guess what? There's a small population of bears up in Northeast Iowa. I learned on the news last night.
I was like, convinced that there were bears in Memphis.
11 bears that live there.
Yeah, no bears.
You have a big race coming up for yourself as well.
Who?
You.
You, like the 10K?
Yeah. You haven't raced in a while. This is a big deal.
I'm
actually, she's never raced a 10K.
You know,
she's never raced a 10K.
I have never raced a 10K. I mean, I think 10K, I told you guys that running about 5 or 6 miles is my sweet spot, and I've been kind of playing with, like, I'm not going out with the intent. Like, I've been doing a lot less looking at my watch while I'm out running. And so I'm just kind of like going off a feel, and for no other reason other than just because I'm at a point where I want to make sure that I'm doing it for funsies. Like, I want to make sure that mm-hmm. I'm doing, but also, like, then that part of it's been cool to look back on it. Like, in the mornings, I know I get all excited and I'll send you guys a message and be like, oh my gosh, look how fast I was today, you know? And so I'm looking.
What's the name of this race?
It's the women's, the Des Moines women's race. It's the one that I've done. I did the 5K originally, like the very first one, and then I ran the half marathon last year. And that was my only bucket list item last year, was to run the half marathon. Like, and you know, obviously that evolved.
Is it a big crowd? Like, does it draw a lot of people?
I mean, there's a lot of people that race. You know, I don't know the exact numbers, but yeah. it's just a lot of fun. Like, so typically the day before, they have, it's at a winery down in downtown Des Moines, and they have a braid bar, and they have like all these hairstylists that come and they will braid hair, yoga on the lawn, and they have live music, and they have a huge charcuterie table. Like, it's just like for women, just a fun event for
women.
Wait,
I want to do this race.
It's awesome. And like, they have like some little like booths set up outside, and like it's just like a basically like a little farmer's market for women, for like just for this race. And then they do a Des Moines, I want to say it supports Girls on the Run. You know, the organization that helps like younger girls get into running, and they do a 5K that night before on Saturday night, and then on Sunday morning is the 10K and the half marathon. So last year did the half marathon, this year I'm doing the 10K, and I'm actually excited because I have a lot of people who have asked me if I'm going to be in that area, and hopefully if you're running it and you see me, you stop me and say hi. Like, I it's hard to keep tabs on every person that you come in contact with on social media, and like, I wish I could, you know, always, I always pride myself on being really good at like putting names and faces together, but like that has kind of like eluded me lately, because there are so many, you know, people who like, I can't keep tabs on it. And so I would love to stop and say hi to everyone, but I hope that if anyone sees me, they stop and say hi. And I've really been trying hard to say that to whoever, because I love that. I think that's so fun. And yeah, I'm basically using this as number one, just because I've done the other two races for this particular series. Like, and then I'm using it as training, because at the end of this month, I'm running a half marathon called Dam to Des Moines, which is starting at Sailorville Dam, and it's just basically a straight path from the dam to downtown Des Moines. So yeah, all my running has always been in Iowa. I mean, you know, that's kind of a thing. And then obviously, I introduced, or I talked a little bit about having a role at the Des Moines Marathon this year, which I am doing. More is coming up about that really soon, and I'm super pumped about that. And I am running, but what that looks like is different, and I'm gonna, you know, share that with everybody, but I'm not quite there yet. I mean, I'm just like, so I have stuff going on. It's just, and all related to running, but just, I mean, it's, you know, it's just evolving gradually, and it's different than what it was last year. I don't have like this huge, massive goal. I mean, I think I'm gonna get there, but this year was like, I just want it to be fun. I just want to enjoy what I'm doing. I don't want to have any expectations. I don't want to, you know, like put any, like I just kind of want to play around with it. So that's what I'm doing.
Taking the pressure off can sometimes be the best thing for performance anyway, if you're just not stressing over it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and you know, obviously my big race of this year is Relay Iowa. Like, I honestly, if I'm stressed about anything, it's that. And I know I don't need to be, but I want to make sure that I'm playing my part for the team. You know, like, I've talked to you guys about this a little bit, like, just, you know, a lot of it's just self-doubt that I'm working on. And I am still just kind of trying to navigate what that looks like, and like how, like my contributions, like I want to make sure I'm contributing in the best way I can. And like, I've always had that whole, like, it has to be perfect mentality. I have to keep preaching to myself always, like, you don't have to do this perfectly, but it's hard to break that. Like, if I'm not doing it perfectly, then why am I doing it? But it's really and truly like, if it's not fun, why am I doing it is what it should be, you know? Oh.
Yeah. Running should be fun. And you don't always have to have a big goal to, you know, have it be fun. I like to have a big goal because it keeps me focused, but that's just how I am. I like to have, you know, but I am really looking forward to seeing how you do in this 10K, because it's so different running a 10K around your neighborhood or around your town versus just like, you know, your half marathon. Like, on race day, there's going to be so many people there, and the vibes and the hype. Like, I have a feeling you're going to do very well.
Well, it's just so funny.
That you're going to surprise yourself.
It's funny because I remember, like, I mean, I was really cooking when I saw you guys at the marathon, you know? And then I was really strong until I hit that, like, 10-mile mark when all of a sudden I'm just like, oh, my legs are cramping so bad. And, like, at that point, it was all about how am I going to just do this with my head, you know? Because... And that part sucks. And I do want to redeem myself. This is not that year. Like, this year is just for me to, like, again, play with what I'm doing, like, figure out what I have, you know, like, just like, what is the sweet spot for me? Because I've never really done that. I just went straight from a 5K to a marathon. And it's like, well, you didn't even, like, test the waters first. You just jumped right in. So, which is fine. I'm not saying, you know, I think that's great. It has helped me a lot to do that, because I think it's made it so that I do know I can do all these smaller distances, you know, like, I know I can do them. At the end of the day, I will always tell you that my only goal, like, to finish is to win for me, always and every time. That is my bare minimum, to finish is to win always. And, like, if I do that every time, I'm happy, you know, like, regardless of what it is. Obviously I'm evolving, and so, like, that changes a little bit because I do have some expectations put on myself now, and, like, I'm building, trying to, like, build on that. And so anyway, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of fun. It's a whole new thing, because I'm, like, the first year into running, like, I mean, what do you say, running races? Because obviously last year wasn't my first year running, but, like, actually it was my first big year of, like, distance running. I'm now kind of like, okay, well, like, what comes next? And I don't know what distance it is. Like, maybe I'm just destined to be a 10K runner forever. Like, and I find every 10K in Iowa, and I do.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And you should come visit your neighbor in Illinois.
Oh, that, I mean, yeah.
You can travel outside of Iowa too.
And you got to do the Peachtree Road
Race.
But my
name is Iowa Mom.
It's okay. This Iowa Mom can still go other places.
This Iowa Mom does Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, everybody does have their distance. I just don't, I like, I haven't fully decided what mine is yet. I think it's, you know, like, that 6 miles, but I'm obviously going to keep trying half marathons and see if maybe I like it again. Like, I mean,
yeah, can I let you in on a secret? I've been running for a very, very long time, and I still don't know what my favorite distance truly is.
It's
depends on the day.
It depends on which way the wind is blowing. Yeah.
Right. It depends on the
some days I love a 5K.
Well, yeah, like, and then to watch yourself improve, like, just that part of it's been really cool for me. Just to look at where I was last year, and the things that I did last year were really big. But now, like, to see myself, like, improving on the big things has been so cool.
I will say a big thing that I have learned, though, after and since being on TikTok and Run Talk, is the community aspect. And that's a goal of mine. Is, I mean, I've DNF'd a marathon before, and you would think that that would be, like, such a hard, horrible thing for me. And I look back at that race, and it's like, that's the race where I met Mary Grace, and I got to travel with two friends out there. We had a blast. And I'm like, well, the marathon, you know, it wasn't a marathon, didn't go my way, but I would not trade that weekend for anything, like, even with the DNF. And that's, I think, part of this journey is figuring out your why. And a big part of my why at this point is running with people. And I don't think anything will change that aspect for me at this point.
So I feel like we should each give, but while we're getting ready to sign off for the night, I think we should each give what we're most looking forward to for Relay Iowa. You both laughed.
Oh.
Would you already have an idea, or can't you think of anything?
It's so hard to pick just
I'm actually, okay, aside from, you know, not everybody not puking, that's,
yeah,
that's a
not
bonus.
Happening.
I'm really looking forward to the early morning run. Cause last year when I went out and, like, walked, what was it, that Saturday into Sunday morning at, like, I don't know, 3 a.m. I've never been somewhere that was so completely dark before that I could see, like, the stars were just insane. insane.
It's cool.
And so I'm really looking forward to those miles again. And seeing you guys, but
I think one of the moments I'm most looking forward to is in Sioux City, once every single person is together and just like,
yeah,
it's going to be chaos and joy, and there's going to be like a million hugs and laughter. I think that that moment is going to be a highlight of the entire weekend for me. It's just, we've been looking.
It was like the standing around at Cars, like between the runs, and the, you know, like last year, y'all playing in the headlights when Dan was singing. That was so funny.
Right before everything went downhill with the.
That was it. That was the final moment. Dan was singing Les Mis.
It was near Gowrie, Jen, and the sun was setting and the temperature dropped like a good 20 degrees. And it was like probably in the low 50s. Everything, it was like just such a beautiful calm. I mean, Iowa is not the most exciting state in terms of geography, but it is beautiful. And I think the sunset.
I was blown away by it.
You'll never hear me say, I mean, I haven't traveled a ton, like I'm not real worldly or anything, but you'll never hear me say, I wish I lived somewhere else. I love living here because of like looking at the sunsets every single night. I mean, I'm obsessed with taking a picture of myself in the sun because of like the way that it makes everything look. I told Jeff once, I was like, when we go to Texas, I'm like, it just feels like there's this haze over everything. I said, it doesn't feel as clear as Iowa. And he's like, that's weird. And I'm like, you don't see it then? Because I see it. Like, I mean, it just, everything just feels like so green and so blue and so, the clouds are so white. And it's probably just me because, but like, I don't know. Anyway, I love it. I do love Iowa. And I'm excited for you guys all to be here. And
same.
I'm
really excited. We've got 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's coming up.
So much eating and so much just like the content possibilities are endless.
Lots of
stuff. Oh, I've already started like coming up with ideas.
Oh my gosh.
We'll have to go live at some point.
Oh
yeah.
We could, on location. That's freaking awesome. Yeah. Although we can't really, I hope we don't get, we'd have to watch our language because, you know, I can't say naughty words on here.
Not that I know. Life does not like bad words.
No, it don't. It will shut you down. Oh, shoot. Okay, guys. Well, we went like 4 minutes over, which, I mean, we could probably continue to go on and on, but that will, you know, we'll save that for another day. You guys that can find this podcast on Spotify and Amazon Podcasts. We have 13 episodes already posted. This one will drop sometime this weekend. And let's see, what else am I missing here? Am I missing?
Next week, we are going to be having a nice chat with Cynthia.
Yes. It will be Lauren and Lynn's. I will be a doubleheader. So I'm sad, super sad to miss that. But, you know, mom life calls. I can't miss my kid playing baseball. So anyway,
look forward to though.
Yes, we do. And we have some other exciting things to come. And I mean, Lauren, am I missing anything?
We got everything.
Okay, cool. All right, guys. Well, we hope that you have an amazing evening and we will be back next week.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.